This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey everybody, Jason here. I've got Dr. Stephanie Boyer from Bryant University. We are going to talk about the future of sales in this part three. Dr. Stephanie, are you ready for the future of sales and whatever that might mean to us right now?
So ready for the future. We're in it. We're in the future.
The future is now. It sounds cliche and it sounds silly, but it is. And obviously, there's a lot of stuff we're going to dive into. For people tuning in, this is part three of our conversation together. We talked about authenticity. We talked about persuasion. We talked about a lot of things that kind of overlapped and then morphed and led into this. Some stuff that we're going to talk about in this conversation, this episode, will probably be, you know, kind of the highlights of what we talked about before. If you didn't catch them, make sure to check the first two parts. You won't be totally lost, but it will help. Definitely go back and listen to those as well. So let's start with this. And again, for people tuning in just to this episode, your bio will be in the show notes. I want to just dive into this instead of going through that, but it will be in there to help people understand why you are great to talk about the future of sales with. So let's start with, what do buyers want, or what do you think buyers want, or what does your research show buyers will want more of from salespeople, or less of from salespeople in the future slash now?
Well, buyers want to buy, and they want to buy the right things, and they often do not like to be pitched to. I know when I had a conversation recently with someone I met at a conference, as soon as we got on, a PowerPoint deck came up, and all of a sudden it was this pitch, and I'm thinking,
yes.
Do you know who you're talking to? I am a faculty member here. I am not the right person to buy your product, first of all. So you probably should have done a little bit of research, but also not a good idea to start a brand new conversation with a sales deck and a pitch. Because as soon as we get that pitch, we go into that pitch mode, right? Where we're like, okay, what else am I going to do? Am I going to have to, you know, check an email or something else? Because how can you possibly pitch to me when you don't know me? You know, that is a little bit further down the road to share with me some of the ways that you could potentially help me. But if you don't know what my problems are, then I don't want to talk to you. So I think the future is buyers who expect the seller to understand them, expect the seller to use the generative AI and data, big data tools that are out there to be able to come informed to a conversation and ask the right questions, really listen and be a part of the conversation. I know now we have a lot of AI tools that'll help us to record the meetings that we're in and take notes. So we're able to be so much more present in the conversation. And we're able to go back and watch some of the conversations that we have and to look at things like, how engaged was I and what were the decision points, and just understand and not miss anything in the conversation as well. So I think buyers are going to expect to use a little bit more technology, have better conversations, to have salespeople that really come to understand them, even in that first call, and that they're going to keep better track of that sales process as well.
Where do you see buyers arming themselves with their own technology or their own processes, let's say, to defend themselves from salespeople or to avoid being pitched by classic salespeople, whatever you think comes to mind for that?
I mean, I've been on calls and I've heard people from the very beginning say, you're not going to pull up a slide deck, are you? Right. In the call, or like, are you looking for a slide deck that you're going to pull up, or right? And so they'll just try to avoid that. And also, like, they just won't take another call. If you come in and you don't show that you understand them or care, then they'll just cut you off and they'll ghost you in the sales meeting. And then sometimes they do bring technology to the meeting as well to help keep track of some of the call notes. And, you know, sometimes they'll also not allow your technology into the calls as well. Right. So I see buyers doing all kinds of interesting, different types of things to arm themselves. But at the end of the day, the buyer really does want to buy. And so you've got to establish some trust and get them to open up to you, to let you know what's happening in their world.
So one of the things that just popped in my mind is that buyers really do want to buy. Yes, buyers want to buy, but not everyone is a buyer and not everyone is wanting to buy. And so what just popped in my head is salespeople listen and go, okay, buyers want to buy. Like anybody I talk to wants to buy, right? Always be closing. That's what I should do because Dr. Stephanie said that buyers want to buy. So everyone I talk to, I should just go after, right? Pitch deck or no pitch deck. But where is that line for you identifying somebody as a buyer versus somebody as a prospect or a lead, which is totally different for salespeople to be thinking about?
Well, really having a problem that needs solving, right? We all know those people that have problems and they want to talk about the problem, so they don't want to actually solve their problems. Being able to find the people that have a problem that is big enough, that is causing enough havoc in their lives that they actually, or in their work, that they want to actually solve that problem and that they have the means and authority to resolve that problem as well.
Okay. And so how do salespeople go about that? Again, I want to help, I want us to help salespeople listening to this or leaders and managers go from everyone I talk to, I should pitch to, my role is to do this with people so that I can identify the buyers.
Qualifying. So it starts off with understanding who you are, understanding what problems you're solving. And if you just take a moment and think about who are my best customers, who are my customers that really appreciate the services that I'm offering. And then just thinking about, okay, let me find like 100 more people that are just like this person and start to go after those people instead of going after the people that are like your worst customers that are not finding value in your services. So just thinking about that, I know it seems so simple, but we get so caught up in like all the day-to-day things. We forget to do those very simple things of just taking a step back and saying, who are my five best customers? What are their titles? Who was the person that made the decision? Who are the people that are actively using this? Who am I engaging with every day? Now I need to go find out, and the generative AI tools that are out there can tell us who 500 other people are that are just like those people. And then we can start reaching out to them with messages that actually matter. And if we're reaching out to those people that are so similar, then certainly we should be able to help them.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things is that I see salespeople and companies fall in love with their product or service so much that they think, of course, everyone's going to want it, right? And or let's just play the numbers game, air quotes, and let's just go after the world because, of course, everyone's going to be like, everybody's going to want this because we're amazing. But that's not the case. Because obviously there's ideal clients for every product or service and then identifying it so that your job is to find the buyers, not just find people with a pulse and then try to move them forward, right?
Exactly. And if you think about that idea of, you know, it's just a numbers game and we need to go talk to more people, we're going to conquer the world. I see two really big problems with that. First of all, you're not starting with the right foundation. And what that means is you're going to get an awful lot of rejection. And so if you're getting your sales team out there and they're making a bunch of calls and they're constantly getting rejected, then that's going to drop the morale and you're going to have a morale problem and they're going to be really frustrated and they're going to question whether they should be in sales or not or whether the product is any good. But it's because they're putting themselves into situations where they're going to have such a high level of rejection. And then the second with that is that time is that very precious resource that we can't create any more of. And if we're wasting our time talking to the wrong people, then we're not spending our time on the people that matter the most.
So, and I think that's so important because a lot of times leaders don't understand that or see that whole, like what we're doing to the team by just feeding lots and lots of things into the machine versus like, what do we really want to be going after? Again, like you said, time is a precious resource. So that kind of answers the other question that I would normally ask, which is what should salespeople be doing more of or less of, which is obviously the quality and the research. So let's dive into the next part, which is talking about the technology. You mentioned AI several times. Like, where do you see that? Obviously, I know your thoughts about it being a tool. Obviously, you've mentioned it several times. So you're on the side of seeing it as a force that can be used. But where do you see that being valuable and effective? And or where's that balance for salespeople where they use it for good and not for evil, or for, you know, make themselves lazy or ineffective?
Well, technology can make us so much more effective and so much more efficient. Now we have so much data at our fingertips, and it's important for salespeople to understand how to use that data, how to use their critical thinking skills with the data in order to serve it up to customers, to create insights, or to, you know, have their own insights or insights that they're going to share with their customers. So using the data that's out there, being able to analyze or just understand the data, that's very important, because we can be a better advisor, a better trusted advisor to our clients if we can provide them those insights. But then also, a lot of these generative AI tools are saving us time, so that, you know, we don't have to draft up that email that might be a difficult email and spend 2 hours thinking about how we should do that effectively. There are so many products and tools that are out there that are just going to be able to do repetitive and mundane tasks for us. And generative AI can help us to come up with insights as well. It can help us to take a bunch of information and summarize it, and being able to distribute that information out in a variety of different ways to different audiences. Generative AI tools can help us to create social media posts, because I know some people say, gosh, you know, I want to have a social presence, but it's really hard to come up with content because I don't know the right content. But it can actually help you come up with content based on your own thoughts and your own ideas. So there's just so much that's out there. And of course, the Rainmakers tool that we created has been helping me to be able to give my own students more time and attention and individualized coaching, because we have created these customers that are AI customer bots, having live conversations with students. So being able to go back and forth, have a 15-minute conversation with a bot that is using a tool that has game mechanics in there, that's giving them live coaching challenges, helping them to take more risks in the conversation and trying to reward some of those risks that they're taking to be able to meet the learner where they're at. And so I could not have 100 role play conversations, practice conversations with my students, teaching them how to ask the right kinds of questions and giving them that right feedback in the conversation and right after. But now that we have these AI products to help us, now all of my students can do 150 or more role play conversations in a semester, and they can get individualized feedback, so much so that they're going to be really ready and confident for those sales conversations that they're going to actually have with real live people.
Yeah. And that's why I love that piece, which I knew was going to come up here. And obviously we'll have a link in the show notes for the Rainmakers platform that you co-founded, you know, for using with the students. And then it's just kind of taken off beyond that. But, you know, for anyone who's led a sales team, you know, you can't role play enough with everybody. And usually what happens, and I've done this constantly, because you can only be in one place at a time, is you pair people up and you tell them to role play. But another fellow salesperson, usually new in the same cohort or maybe even experience, it doesn't matter, they're not the same as a customer, right? They can't really do the same things. And so that role play is only so valuable. And then it's like, all right, well, I just have to throw you in. And, you know, then hopefully I'll keep you alive while you figure this out, versus using these tools. And I love that platform that you've done. And so where do you see the students really getting, like, not just the role play practice and getting some confidence in that, but, you know, how have you seen that really help them? And maybe that's it. Maybe it's the confidence and, you know, having enough at bats, like we talked about in the beginning with, you know, with improv, and it's okay to fail.
Well, so one of the things that I found with this data, which was shocking, is that it takes about 30 or 40 of these full role play conversations to start to really build up a significant amount of competence. So to really get good at that conversation, you have to practice it. And so what this product is doing for the students that are in college and for people that are out in sales is it's helping them to understand and build muscle memory around the process that the organization wants you to follow. So understanding, you know, what that conversation should be like, how to ask the right questions, how to handle some of the concerns that customers might have, how to really help get past some of those concerns. And for salespeople, they really need that support. So they need that support when they are onboarding, when they're first coming into the organization. But what I find is really interesting is that the higher that you go up in sales, even at the very highest level, you need practice having conversations. There are things that you need to be able to rehearse and just to get comfortable with. And the higher you go, the fewer people there are that are going to have the conversation that are going to practice with you, especially give you enough practice to get you really ready. And so I think that it's just like, it fascinates me that as you go up, there are fewer and fewer people that will be qualified to train with you. But then also, you know, maybe they're going to be some of your subordinates, some people that are reporting to you. And how confident are you that they're going to give you real feedback? You know, that they're going to try to correct you and provide you guidance versus like, oh, that was really good. Right. Yes. You know, and so the higher you get, you still need a lot of support. And those conversations that you're in are extremely important, probably big, big, big deals if you're in them and you're not getting the training and support that you need to be ready for that conversation.
Yeah, I think that's so valuable. And so important, right? And this goes back to something we talked about in the very beginning in part one about everything being in, you know, some level of sales or sales related, right? Whether you're interviewing for a job or it's personal, it's relation, like all these things. And people think, oh, well, if I'm not in a sales role or I'm not new anymore, so I don't need help or whatever it is versus, you know, the people who are really successful, they know they're always wanting to get better, always wanting to learn. When we talk about the research, because I know you're big on research, I would love to know, like, what research are you excited about that you're either working on or you're the seeing that's coming out and what that would do for sales?
Some of the research that I've been working on research in self-directed learning and adult learning, really understanding the science behind learning for the last two decades. And that research is built on, you know, even more decades of research. I've done meta-analyses to really understand how adults learn. And adults learn in a way that's really different from children. But the sad thing that I continue to see even 20 years later is that in organizations, they're often still training their salespeople as if they're children, right? And then the other thing that's different about adult learning versus salesperson learning is that salespeople are boundary spanners. So boundary spanners means that you are on the cusp, you're living in two different worlds, right? So you're living in the internal organization, like the internal politics that you're dealing with, trying to get resources, trying to get an engineer on your call or trying to get permission to travel somewhere. So you're trying to navigate the political landscape within your own organization. But at the same time, you're out there and you're talking to customers, you're understanding what's happening in the external environment with the competition, you're understanding, you know, what's happening in the economy, what your customers are saying, like you're out there. And that salesperson has such a high level of emotional labor that they have to perform that's really different from someone that's just, you know, operating within the internal component of the organization. And so that person needs so much more support and different support. And the way that we train salespeople is different than the way that we would train someone in the organization. And the impact of really good training or really bad training has a much bigger impact on salespeople than it does a typical adult learner within an organization. So over the last two decades, I've been publishing this research in places that nobody is going to read it, that really need to read it. And so I'm very excited about being able to kind of understand that, how a manager can use that and add it into their own Salesforce. So like sharing that with chief revenue officers, sharing it with sales enablement leaders. And then the recent research that we've been doing, looking at some of the game mechanics and what we're seeing with Rainmakers and how AI can start to set up some of these challenges for learners to meet them where they are, aligning game mechanics with what I know about adult learning. That is, it's fascinating. It's exciting. It's exciting to see the impact. What we found was that adding some of these game mechanics doubled the amount of practices that people would put in. So across the board, 1 year to the next, game mechanics versus not having all of these in there, it actually doubled the amount. And we looked at it based on like gender and ethnicity breakdown. So you looked at those different levels and everybody doubled, if not more than doubled, the amount of effort that they put into their training programs, which was like, it's fascinating.
That's awesome. And what I love about that is contrasting what you were just talking about with, you know, everything that a salesperson goes through internally and externally and what's involved with that, which most people aren't thinking about. And then comparing that to the sales training program that I see with most people is we hire people who know how to sell. Here's the product. Here's how to pitch it. Here's how to ask the discovery questions. Now go. You should just know how to do this. Like salespeople are born, not made. And so let's hire the people who just know how to sell. And then obviously where that's a giant failure and why sales has such a high attrition, you know, one aspect is because that model, like, or somebody moves up in an organization and said, well, I was good at it and I just figured it out on my own. So we'll just have everyone figure it out on their own. And of course, there's a lot of carnage with that learning and development model. So one last question here on the future of sales, because I know we could keep talking about the future on and on and on. And this is a question I know that like, I know this is an important one because I am excited about this. And I know this is where your heart is as well, which is what are you most excited about with sales education, higher education sales programs, especially for as long as you've been involved in this and the evolution you've seen? And like, what are you excited about where it's going? And how quickly it's getting there.
Everything has changed. In the last 6 months, everything has changed. And recently, we actually received a big donation from Fidelity. They donated an entire building to Bryant University. And it's going to be like a whole new campus that we have across the street. And part of that campus is going to be a 25-room sales lab that I'm building. And so it's funny that you asked that because I've been thinking about this question too of, you know, what does the future look like? I don't want to build the sales program based on where we are now and what skills we need. I want to know what skills are students going to need in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years. And I've been testing out so many technology tools, so many AI tools, data tools, insight tools. And so I think what we're going to see is this SDR role really expanding to that like full cycle sales role. So the students have to be far more prepared to have the conversations, far more prepared to be able to understand the data that's out there to provide insights. So I think what we're going to see is conversational training to make sure that the students are ready to do more than just, you know, go out and find leads and try to do some cold calls to really bring the customer all the way in. And so lots of AI, lots of technology, lots of data, understanding how to write prompts to get generative AI tools to be able to work for you a little bit better. So these students are going to be coming into organizations, and I think they're going to be making that change because many people in the organizations and in sales roles right now, they're not going to be up to date with the latest technologies and tools and products, but our students are going to be ready. So they're going to be ready for the conversation and how to understand the data and use that in that conversation with the buyer to help move these companies forward. So I'm so excited about where we're heading and getting students ready so that they're going to be able to make an impact for the companies that they're with.
Well, and the part that stands out the most that I'm excited for is because these university programs like yourself are focused on research, talking to students, also the corporate partners, and getting that feedback, and then just looking ahead like you're doing, then what happens is you're creating students that are graduating that are further ahead other people. And like you said, what the organization has always done, right? Even just today, I heard from an organization where I was like, well, this is what we've always done and this is what works for us. It's like, those are two different things, right? It's not necessarily what's happening in the future. And I think what's great is you're setting up this future generation to not just go into an organization, listen to what they've always done, and then just repeat what's always done and just get slaughtered on, you know, in a sales role. And instead, like, how do you stay ahead in being of service? That's the part I love, is that, you know, again, going back to part one, where it's all about being of service, it's all about helping, it's all about that concern we talked about in part two. It's all of that, and then staying ahead of the game. And so absolutely love that. I'm super excited for you and your program and all of these programs.
Thank you. And, you know, one last thought on that is that we really need to embrace the technology. And it's like any other technology that's come out, you know, when you think about cell phones, when you think about when computers came out, how much it changed us, when you think about, you know, how automobiles came out, and it really changed the way that we operated, right? And so people get nervous and they get scared because things are shifting, power is shifting, right? And so we have to lean into the technology and embrace it. And the more we fight it, the more we really get left behind. So thinking about how can we use this ethically? How can we use this effectively? And what are the new jobs that people are going to need to be prepared for to be able to operate some of the new technology that's out there?
I love it. Great place for us to end this future of sales and this podcast trio conversation that we had. For people tuning in, once again, check the show notes. I will have your link for LinkedIn. People can also find you. They can just search Dr. Stephanie Boyer, and they will find you based on all the content that you're posting. Great stuff. The Rainmakers program will have the link in the show notes as well, so they can check that out and see how powerful that is as a tool. And again, once again, thank you for being here, and truly thank you for everything you're doing for the sales profession, with the future of sales, with the salespeople that you're impacting, because that's literally changing. And again, I tell people all the time, I'm just selfish as an only child. I just want to be able to be a customer and buy something and know that somebody actually knows what they're doing. So I appreciate your impact in that. And thank you again for being here and sharing all this with the Authentic Persuasion audience.
And thank you what you're doing to elevate sales. We all appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad I could help in any way that I can. And again, please, anyone tuning in, please connect with her, with anyone in sales, higher education. Let's get more of this out there so we can just shift the way sales is done, and then obviously the way it's viewed for all of us. And again, as always, when I close this out, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.